Thank you very much. Now, before we take a bow, oh, I thought it was funny.
That was a good point.
Oh, was that a tree joke?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a oak?
Stop monkeying around.
Thank you ever
so much. That's the way I tell them.
Stop talking
about it. No, that's a brilliant one. That's the way I tell them. Tell them. Elm.
Bloody idiot. Point me the nipple. Come on. Welcome,
Young'uns Podcast. Previously on the Young'uns Podcast. Michael Hughes is having knob-based problems. Well said, David Eagle from the past. This is David Eagle from the present now. Actually, not from the present, because it's actually now David Eagle from the past, because it's a podcast. And the present has gone. A lot to think about that, isn't it? A lot to think about.
I can fit my hand down. Can you fit your hand down? Who'd like to try? Come on, it'll cheer you up after losing your caravan, Dave. Come on.
Oh, there's the ice cream van back. He made an appearance on previous Young'uns Podcast. It's back again, listeners. An old friend of the podcast.
Is it the fire alarm? Who's in charge?
Can we evacuate the building for a moment, please? But I don't know what the alarm is, but it's not the burglar alarm.
Welcome to the Young'uns Podcast, back in the safety of the studio after last week's escapades, near run-ins with the police. And that was with Jim Causley, Greg Russell and Kieran Algar, who incidentally, Greg and Kieran do make an appearance on this week's Young'uns Podcast, but it is very fleeting, very much a case of blink and you'll miss it. Not that you can really blink with your ears, but I'm sure you get the point. Or maybe you can blink. Maybe you can blink with your ears. I have no idea. I don't want to jump to assumptions here. If there are any ear blinkers among us listening, then feel free to get in touch with us. And we'll put you on the website, do a little video. That should bring the punters in, if you blinking your ears. They walk into the room, basically, when Sean is imparting a weird Young'uns-related dream that he had during Whitby Folk Week. It's another action-packed, death-defying adventure, this time set in Russia. We are presented with a rather odd theory on the podcast this week, regarding toilets. We were going to be ruminating on the sexual antics of Morris dancers at this year's Broadstairs Festival. We've got a potential celebrity guest who might be attending a gig that the Young'uns did. Find out more about that. Plus, lots more clips from Otley, York, Camden and the Folk East Festival in Suffolk. Plus, find out why this week's Young'uns Podcast is entitled Penguin Beater. So, no Young'uns in the mix this week, and we're not going to do the Young'uns in the mix in future weeks, really. But don't be despondent about it if you are a Young'uns in the mix fan, because the reason we're not doing it is because rather than just inserting Young'uns in the mix bits and pieces into podcasts, like 2 or 3 minute sections, I thought what might be better is if we did like a full DJ set, so like a half an hour, 40 minute podcast where we mix folk songs with pop songs, and we did that for like a 30-40 minutes thing, so it's a kind of a DJ set that people could play at parties and that kind of thing. I think that'll work quite well. And we haven't got Folk in Focus this week, primarily because I went on Twitter one of the days and I just didn't see anything. They were just boring folkies, boring folk performers just promoting gigs and that kind of thing, using Twitter as a promotional tool rather than fodder for my amusement, basically, and for your amusement, hopefully, as well. So, no Folk in Focus, no Young'uns in the mix, but it's certainly not a depleted Young'uns podcast because we've got absolutely loads of brilliant clips. And the other thing as well, Melrose Quartet. I did say a couple of weeks ago that we were going to have an interview with James Fagan, but James Fagan appears to be so massively busy that he keeps cancelling on us. And so I don't know whether he's having nerves. I mean, it is a big thing. It is a big step for him to come on the Young'uns podcast. And, you know, I'll keep encouraging him, and maybe one day we'll come on. But never mind. I'm sure we'll have Melrose Quartet in the fullness of time. A lot has happened over the last couple of weeks since we were in the studio. We've done a session on BBC Radio 3, in fact. And here's a little chat about it, taken from our gig at Camden.
Friday night we were on Radio 3.
We were very nearly not on Radio 3 because I accidentally I went to the toilet. I didn't accidentally call the toilet. I mean, I went to the. That could be another story, couldn't it? Where the World on 3 show has to be cancelled due to water in the mixing desk, please. Water, hang on a second. But I went to the toilet toilet, and then when I came out, I accidentally, instead of going to Radio 3, turned right instead of left and wandered into the BBC One Extra studio. Accosted, like, what were you doing here? And I was like, I'm coming to do a session. They nearly had me on. I thought, well, you know, get the other two. I'm sure we're going to do an improvised urban hip hop or one of our songs, I'm sure. So we're gonna practice that, because we've actually now managed to get a session on One Extra for next week, so we're going to do some beatboxing during the second half, so look forward to that.
Yeah, so we were on Radio 3 and it was all going well until Dave dropped the accordion.
So you can hear that, incidentally, on the BBC Radio 3 website. It's still up, I think. So if you just do a search for Young'uns BBC Radio 3, then you can listen to that. And it's also linked to on the Young'uns website as well. And my website, indeed. So you can't really miss it. There's loads of ways to listen to our session on Radio 3. Now, that clip, incidentally, was taken from the Green Note Cafe in London. A brilliant vegetarian restaurant. Very small, sort of small stage. We couldn't actually fit on the stage, really. We couldn't stand side by side. We had to stand in a line at the end. We tried to do the conga as an encore, but it didn't really work because the stage was that small. As soon as you moved, we fell off it. It didn't quite work very well. But anyway, we'll be back to the Green Note Cafe later on in the podcast. But first to the Black Swan Folk Club, now in York.
I'm a little bit worried tonight. I'm all raring to go to have a good gig and stuff. But I'm a little bit worried because I looked on Twitter and we got a tweet from someone who said, I'm in the Black Swan, really looking forward to the Young'uns performing. And her name was, Mary Whitehouse. So, she's here, but I feel as if I should, you know, this gig should maybe have a warning that there will be songs of a sexual and violent nature, but and harmonies that certain people will find offensive. So, yes, Mary Whitehouse is in, hopefully, anyway.
We like to single out one individual member of the audience at the start of every gig.
Yes.
Just in case it was the real Mary Whitehouse come back from the dead, just to make sure that the Young'uns weren't doing anything we shouldn't have been doing, you know. We had to forgo Michael's erotic dance that we usually do. If anyone's been to a gig before, there's normally a bit of a naked erotic dance that Michael does. We had to forgo that in York. So please do come to another gig when the presence of Mary Whitehouse isn't there, and we shall do that for you. Back to York later on in the podcast when we anticipate the arrival of a celebrity to watch one of our gigs. Who could it be? Find out a bit later on. But first, it's the sound of Supertramp, which in Young'uns podcast terms can only mean one thing, my friends.
Dreamer.
Dreamer.
You know you are a dreamer.
You know you are a dreamer, Mr. Cooney.
And you put your hands in your head.
Whether you can do that's irrelevant.
I said dreamer. Nothing but a dreamer.
Nothing but a dreamer. Bit harsh.
Can you put your hands in your
head? Again, we're not interested whether he can put his hands in his head. Although that could be a good accompaniment to the ear blinking video, perhaps. Mr. Cooney puts his hands inside his head.
You know, well, you know you had it coming to you.
You know you had it coming to you, listeners, because I warned you at the start of the Young'uns podcast that we'd be talking about this.
Stupid little dreamer.
Stupid little dreamer. Do apologise, Mr. Cooney. Indeed, listeners, Supertramp woo, and I'm sure you are wooing with excitement at the prospect of hearing yet another Mr. Sean Cooney dream. Oh, yes. Last week, we discussed the unusual dreams of Jim Causley, Greg Russell and Kieran Algar, but this week it's back to Sean Cooney. On Thursday morning of Whitby Folk Week, I had this very unusual dream that he decided to tell us about. It's an adventure set in Russia. The Young'uns get up to some rather harrowing stuff in Russia. Greg and Kieran do make a very short appearance, as I said, on the podcast this week in this bit, because they walk into the room when we were recording it. So, Greg and Kieran fans, that's something to look forward to. Listen out for that. You can't really hear them too much. A little bit of an audio treat for you. Listen carefully. You can hear them muttering and breathing a little bit as well. Ooh.
Good morning, listeners. We are here, all three of us together now. And we talked on the podcast about folk-related dreams. We've been doing this quite regularly. We've been talking this with Kieran and Greg and Jim, and you've had... Is it a folk-related dream you've just had?
It was epic. I've just woken up. I'm just trying to remember it. The three of us were doing a gig, and I think we got kidnapped. And we ended up, like, holed up in this I think it was in Russia or somewhere, and it was like a Cold War era, and there was some gangsters there, and we were like kidnapped and tried to escape. Yeah, the other thing was I had all the CD money that we got from our CDs in my pocket, and I hadn't sorted out, and people were elaborately pinching it tenner at a time. They were kind of like in really elaborate ways, like they were like cart rolling past me and doing like back flips and suddenly nicking the tenner. And then we ended up on a ship. Some kind of, I mean, that might have been in South America, maybe like a riverboat or something. And that was part of the thing, we'd made our escape. Yeah, I think we tried to bribe, because we did have a bit of CD money left. We tried to bribe one of the security guards to tell us how to get out of this. Or maybe it was more like a castle. And he said, yeah, there's an underground tunnel, run straight through, under, straight down and right. So we did, but we needed to... No, it was violent as well, because these gangsters...
Well, Michael Hughes can get a bit violent.
And you know why it was? Because somebody told...
Especially when Russians are involved, eh, Michael?
Oh, my dreams are obviously made up of everything you've been thinking about and you've heard that day. And so someone was telling me a story about the Battle of Cable Street and the razor blades and how kind of brutal those kind of pitched battles between fascists and non-fascists could be. And so that was in it as well. So these gangsters had, like, knives and blades and stuff, so it was quite scary. And then our escape was epic. There was like a staircase, like a two-tiered staircase, and I decided I jumped down two flights, and I realised you were behind me. And I was trying to describe what you're doing. You were like, Where's the steps? No, you've got it. Oh, I just jumped in. Oh, I'm not jumping. and then we tried to find this tunnel, but we couldn't find it. And I opened this. I was looking, there's a big curtain, I was trying to get behind it, and I opened the curtain, then all the gangsters were running straight towards me, so I found a button that I hoped would, like a wall would come out, or something would happen, then the room would be finished, but this button, you know, it raised the curtain up. By that time I'd lost you. And you, of course, didn't go in the way the tunnel was, you went the other way. There was another curtain. Like, which was just behind a wall, and you were very, very, like, incredibly and futilely just hiding behind it like that. With your legs sticking out. I wonder where they are, Michael. And so we were caught. But luckily, we managed to. I think it was all a joke. Maybe it was some.
Oh, right.
It was a happy ending. I don't know why.
Thank goodness.
And then, before that, though. Oh, we stayed in this haunted house. It was incredible. I was really scared. And in the basement, there was a curry restaurant, which had the best curry ever that we ever tasted. Although the service and even the tables, the place was like covered in like dust and like maggots, I think, and it was all manky and smelly and smelt of damp, and the waiter was foul, as our waiter was last night. That's why I dreamed it.
He was not. The only thing the waiter did was count the money in front of your face when you got the tip.
Form, is it? Listen, waiter shouldn't count your money for you in front of your face.
But you do that if you're in the shop. You give them your money and the shopkeeper would count it, wouldn't it?
It's different in the restaurant. Anyway, so we're in this...
Back to Russia.
The best curry ever.
With the maggots and the dust.
It was weird. It was like Miss Havisham's house and Great Expectations.
Gregory.
But then
Hello, Greg. Hey. This is what we do. Hey, we just stand here recording each other. Greg's come back. Is Kieran here as well?
Kieran.
Hello, Kieran.
Okay.
Oh, very good, yes.
What's happening now?
We're talking about... Sean's telling us about our dreams. His dream that he's just had.
Play it back soon.
And Young'un's dream fans will be pleased to hear that we have another dream on the podcast next week. It's a David Eagle-based dream. But that's all we've got time for on the dream feature this week. Oh, no. Oh yes. Oh, no. Oh yes, I'm afraid so. But we will be back, as I say, next week with another dream. But now, back to London we go, to Camden, to the Green Note Cafe, for a couple more clips. We're going to talk about Morris dancers and toilets. Oh, two of my favourite subjects, David. How did you know? Oh, we just pull out all the stops for you, listeners.
Oh, well, this is the end of a bit of a tour for us. We were at... obviously, we started off at BBC Radio 3, and then we got to Broadstairs Folk Festival at 4 o'clock in the morning. But the brilliant thing about Broadstairs is it's like a festival, a folk festival on the streets. And there's all these like performances that go on, but when it gets to like late at night and stuff, you've got like this great mix. It's a weird sight. It's like someone should film a documentary for like some sort of cultural thing, because you've got this mix of like teenage girls on nights out, like all of your Essex kind of girls, your Kentish girls, you know, on a night out with the short skirts and the high heels and that kind of thing. Mixed with that is like your folkies with beards and ukuleles and Morris dancers with bells on. My God, all sort of mixing. I was thinking, I bet there was a few awkward morning afters. I can't believe what I did last night. I pulled a Morris dancer. He insisted on keeping his bells on. My 6-year-old kid came in, thought it was Santa Claus. Oh, it was very nice. I presume everyone's gone to the toilet who needed to go, but the flush of the toilet
makes toilets for you.
It makes quite a loud noise, the flush of the toilet, so people may be a bit, you know, discouraged not flush the toilet, which could leave a bit of a backlog because it is quite a noisy toilet flush. So we should have done like a warning. That's the perfect song to flush the toilet to. However, having said that, maybe it isn't, because I was talking to someone in the interval, and she came up to me and said, "Do you have perfect pitch?" And I don't like to brag, because I know the ladies love a man with perfect pitch. But I'm an honest man, so I said 99% of the time. And anyway, she said, "Well, is it true? Is it true?" Because I'm a music teacher who said that all toilets flush in the key of E minor. Is that true? not that I'm aware of, but I don't have my ears assistants. The BBC One Extra toilets, this time I have a hip-hop toilet flush.
Well, it was so funny because this conversation was, you know, quite quiet, in normal conversation volume, but just as four people came past, David Eagle said at the top of his voice, "Now, every toilet is different, dear."
"Well, I don't know about toilets.
You'll sit down here."
Anyway.
Outside. There's a great picture of Jim Corsley in the toilet, I suppose.
Is he on there just above the urinals, or is he advertising condoms or something? Is he got himself some sort of deal?
Life of a folk singer.
Exactly. Now we're professional, we're going to have to go into that kind of thing. You're going to see us all over the place advertising this and that. Dear, dear. The young'un's mugs, but then again, I think we've been mugs for a long time. Really. Anyway, right.
Do you like to join in with one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Two people do. Okay. We batter us on this one.
Right, what do you fancy? Do you want to lead us off, Michael? What?
Yes.
No, why not? Well, there's plenty of reasons, but I'm charitable, so go on.
Now, is it the one we did the other day when we asked people to join in?
Yes.
Because we made the mistake of not telling them what the joining bits were.
Oh, sorry, yes. that's a good point.
Oh, what's the chorus again?
Well, okay, there's only two people, it's not really worth it, to be honest. All right, here we go, so the chorus. So help me, Bob, I'm bullying the alley, way, bullying the alley, help me, Bob. Michael, there's a lot to remember here, isn't there? I'll tell you what, just sing Bully in the Alley, and that'll be absolutely fine. You'll pay the rest of everybody, right? Here we go.
Oh, we haven't really helped anybody there. Even the two people
come to you. Just two people. It's difficult, isn't it? You'll get it. There's about eight verses to this, so you will get it. Should we do like a test at the end? We'll do, like, the audience can do the second last chorus by themselves.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. That we'll be bowing next day.
Oh, I do. We've been looking at the professionals, we've been doing a lot of festivals, and we've seen that they do a lot of audience participation. And audience participation for us generally means that people walk out. We'll try something else in this one. So if you want to join in, we'll shut up during the second. We shut up? Yes, we will. During the second last.
I wish you would, but you should have.
That was coming, don't he? I could smell that a mile off. Anyway,
it's not the only thing I could smell, but anyway,
it's those toilets, isn't it? It's not just a loud flush. Someone go and flush that bloody thing, right? There we are, right.
It's very strong water down here.
I just keep, I've got some weird habit, I must be honest. I just compulsively have to visit toilets. I guess I'm just a chain flusher. Right.
Don't worry, my friend, you haven't missed the thing.
It's all gone down the pan, but.
Right, here we go. Stop! Anybody want to guess what the first word is? Come on, Michael. Otherwise, I'll get me swanny whistle out. Stop! I'll just start. Stop!
Help me, Bob, I'm bullying the alleyway.
And a couple of clips taken from our gig in Camden at the Green Note Cafe. And talking of cafes, this links us to our next clip, because often when we do festivals, we've done a few times now, we've been headlining the second stage just at the same time that the headliners are on the main stage. The main festival headliners are competing against us on the main stage. And generally it's not really much competition, because obviously they're people like, for instance, we've competed against Afro Celt Sound System, The Imagined Village, Billy Bragg. And obviously people have paid their festival tickets, so they're entitled to go and see those acts. And so the majority of people with Music and Integrity go and see them. And then there's a few people who are either hardcore Young'uns fans or just people lacking in musical integrity who have no idea what the heck they're there for, and they just go and stick around to see us. Oh, it's a bit packed over there. We'll just go in there. It's empty. So that happened this week, Folk East Festival in Suffolk, where halfway through our set, the headliners came on. Penguin Cafe Orchestra came on. the main stage. And that links us to our next clip, because halfway through our set, everyone decided, well, not everyone, but about half the audience decided to desert us in favour of watching the Penguin Cafe Orchestra.
Thank you very much. Oh, we're not that bad, are we?
That's a penguin, can't
they? They don't like shanties. They love penguins, though. Well, we'll carry on.
We could really confuse them. Go back! Go on! Has anyone got a telephone? Vehicle reversing.
Mr. Foster, could I get a bit more of myself in the monitor, please? Thank you.
And a bit more of myself as well. Can I have some more Penguin Cafe Orchestra in my monitor, please? Show you a bit of the Penguin Cafe Orchestra on Michael Cheese's guitar. This is the music for home.
We've got time for one more song. Thank you ever so much for listening to us. And apologies if you felt too intimidated to get out of your seat to go and see the Penguins.
Yeah, your favourite group. You only paid for a festival ticket so you go and see them and we've intimidated you. Sorry about that. John, something unaccompanied with instruments.
Unaccompanied.
Oh, well. There you are. We'll save you having to listen to him tune his guitar, I suppose, won't it?
There we are.
Right then, so we'll end with a big chorus one.
I can't hear the thing. We can't be honest with you. Think what they're doing, what we're doing, going, the young'uns are on the other stage, sorry if we're too intimidated. Maybe there is some of the Penguin Cafe Orchestra just glaring at people who really want to come see the young'uns.
Anyway.
How are you very good?
I think so.
Why don't we do that?
Would you like to join in one?
Yeah.
To finish? Well, all I need to do for this is to do an enormous whoop. Can you do that? Really loud whoop. Are you ready? Let's beat those penguins. Are you ready? Here we go.
After three, beat those penguins. That's going to be a quote of some newspaper now, Michael. Out of context. I've got you now. Michael Hughes, penguin beater. That's what it's going to be all the time. You're never going to be allowed to teach again, Michael.
So thank you to everyone who stuck around at that gig and watched us instead of the Penguin Cafe Orchestra. It's a bit of a shame, really. When I was on the stage, I could hear Penguin Cafe Orchestra playing, and I was like, oh, bloody, I love the Penguin Cafe Orchestra. So a part of me was a bit annoyed that the audience stayed around for the young'uns, because if everyone had left, then we would probably just decided to go. We could have watched the Penguin Cafe Orchestra, so you should have all buggered off, and I could have watched the gig. Unbelievable. I still got paid, and everything would have been fine. Dear. You're very inconsiderate, you. You're very inconsiderate, audience. Anyway, back to York we go for our final clip. So we were informed that we had a celebrity coming to our gig in York. So we'd arranged for a couple of complimentary tickets to be put aside for the celebrity and her brother. But unfortunately, we had to turn people away because there wasn't enough room. Literally, the place was packed. And we had to turn a couple of people away because we said, oh no, we've got these complimentary tickets, so apologies for that. We don't normally do that kind of thing. It was a little bit frustrating because when the gig started, they hadn't turned up. And the place was packed, apart from two seats, which were right at the front. We were singing at two empty seats, and the rest of the place was packed. Which takes us to our next clip, which is at the Black Swan, where more shall be revealed.
Well, Canadians still haven't turned up, do we?
No, so...
And we were really excited because, well, my friend Peter lives in Toronto, and he's called Peter Finch, and he's got a very famous sister.
Well, okay, well, don't... We could do, like, a little quiz. You say the name, and then we'll come to this song and see if people know who... The woman is.
You're such an entertainer, Davis.
Yes. So the Peter Finch and Peter Finch.
I didn't let him in the country.
And his sister, Felicity Finch.
They all know Felicity Finch.
You what?
Yeah.
Archers.
So we're very lucky to have her here tonight.
No, she's not here. See, it's very
is it winding?
Fancy thinks on a Sunday we do an omnibus edition of all our gigs.
We were hoping that, you know, we could do, you know, like when they do the comedy live at the Apollo and they say we've got some famous people in tonight. We've got some from the Archers. Oh no, she's not here. Well, if she does come in, can you all do the theme tune?
Are we sure we should all play it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is anyone still standing, by the way? Has everyone got a seat?
I've got a seat.
Oh, what? Bloody hell, this could take a while.
Someone's just come in, David. Oh. Come on. Oh, no, it's Joanne. Sorry. Oh. We thought you were in the Arches.
So we're going to have to warn you, though. If she does come in the middle of it, we're going to stop whatever song we're doing and just stand up and do it. So. Even if it's a song about children dying or something. Oh. A song about children might be Peter Finch, perhaps. Anyway.
Moving on.
Is she not coming?
The news?
Evidently not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Never mind. Anyway, you're just going to put up with us.
Maybe they thought we made it all up. Maybe they think we pick a different famous person every night.
Yeah. Well, we had Arnold Schwarzenegger last year, didn't we? Yeah, we said, will you come again? He said... No, he said no. Right.
Thank you for listening, my friends. More clips from gigs next week. A lot of brilliant clips next week as well. Maybe a guest, who knows? Maybe the return of Forkin Focus. Find out by listening. It's quite a novel idea. I might give that a go, actually. Until next week, my friends, goodbye.
Have huddled underneath that Samwell gate, waiting for news. A fisherman at sea. Is that again? Nope. Did it the same.
Perfectly in key.
How do you, Michael?
How do I ruin a mood, eh?